It's time now to get the hell out of your life. A weekly broadcast with real people, sharing real struggles and offering real hope. Today's show will encourage, inspire, and empower you to face life's challenges with a bold confidence and renewed hope. Now, let's join our host, Ron Myers, the promoter.
Hello, my friends. It is so good to be with you. My guest today, Gene McGuire, received a life sentence for a murder he did not commit. He's got a book. It's called Life After Unshackled. It's an amazing story. His name, Gene McGuire. And Gene, I'm so excited for you to share your story with the listeners. Tell us your story.
You bet. At 17 years old, I was drinking with an older cousin and a brother, another stepbrother, and went to a bar against the parents' wishes. You know, they said, no, you're too young. We manipulated our way out the house. And well, we were just out to shoot pool and drink some beers and shots. And I had no business being here, but that was kind of the lifestyle. And he decides 20 minutes into having fun, he's going to rob the bar. So we decided, I knew I wasn't going to do it. And although I stuck around, he ended up murdering the owner, bartender, and found some money, took off. A day and a half later, I turned myself in. He turned himself in 2 weeks later. Anyway, I was charged with homicide, even though my cousin, you know, said that it was his idea and I was kind of along for the ride. But I was there and I knew he was going to rob the bar. And when he said that, my response to no or leave, and I didn't. So arrested and charged. Attorney told me I'd get 10 years if I'd pled guilty to murder and make a deal. And I ended up getting a life sentence without the possibility of parole at 17. Started my sentence. About 10 years into my sentence, I was a wreck. Got involved in drug world, you know, just living for the moment within the prison system and sneaking around and just trying to mask the pain and shame and guilt of being in prison and life's problems and issues. That only, you know, that only Jesus can help with. So anyway, I attended a prison revival service 10 years into my sentence, and I heard the gospel, like really for the very first time with conviction and power. And, you know, basic scriptural truth of the gospel is that Jesus Christ died for our sins on a cross. According to the scriptures, he was buried. And on the third day, he rose again, according to the scriptures. He ascended into heaven. And he sent us the Holy Spirit that we can live a powerful, God-fearing life here on earth and be a witness of what he's done. After hearing that message 3 days in a row, I went up front and I knelt down on the floor and these guys led me through a sinner prayer. And I just remember saying, Jesus, I believe you. Thank you for forgiving me for my sins. And I want to live for you. And all of a sudden, chains broke off me and I felt like I was free, which led me to, you know, to the words, being a student of the word, being a disciple of the Lord. I met a pastor named Larry Titus who would come in each week, each month. But over 25 years, I studied the word and spent time in the word and fellowship. And for the next 25 years, I just wanted to live and glorify the Lord wherever I was at. Oh, yeah, I prayed for my freedom. I prayed that I would one day be released. And well, a miracle came in 2012 where I was back in the court, and I write about that in my first book, Unshackled, in detail, how it all came about. With the new law came a new opportunity, and I found myself back in court. But the interesting was, after reviewing my case, they realized my attorney lied to me. He pled me into an illegal plea agreement, and I had an unconstitutional sentence. And the judge resentenced me on April 3rd of 2012 to time served, and I was released free that day, and the shackles came off. And in fact, in the courtroom, when the judge said, you're free to go, someone yelled across the courtroom that morning, unshackle him, release him from his chains, he's a free man. And it just resonated within the courtroom. And so anyway, they came over and unshackled me, and then during the writing of my first book, we were looking for a title for the book, and I met Greg Laurie and his wife, Kathy, and met them here in Texas, and we were talking, and after telling him my story, he said, you need to write a book. And well, my co-writer was in Texas with me finishing up. We were looking for a title, and I remember she goes, "We did. We said we did write a book." And she goes, "Oh, what's the name of it?" And we looked at each other. We're still looking. She goes, "Unshackled." That's what they told you in the courtroom. That's what they said to the sheriffs, "Unshackle that man." So since then, I've been in Texas since 2012. And, you know, what I did in prison each day, following the Lord, living for the Lord, you know, praying, reading, serving the Lord, enjoying the will of God, I do it. I continue it out here. And but, you know, my foundation for being a Christian was definitely developed while I was in prison behind bars. But I was free. You know, a friend of mine always says, my friend Richard always says, you know, you were incarcerated, but you were free. Yeah. You know, that's so true.
Wow.
But I really enjoy living here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. A friend of mine back in the prison system said the best place to be is in God's will. And I thought about that for many years. And so no matter where you're at, if you're in God's will, it's the best place.
Wow, what a story, Gene. You know, I can't help but think, how could you have any hope, any relationship with Christ 35 years in a prison cell? How?
Well, yeah, the Bible is God's word to us from Genesis to Revelation. It's true. It's trustworthy. It's never been more true than when you are hopeless and you look at it and you read it and you put it to practice in your life. And that's what I did. There was some dark nights and it was some hard mornings to wake up. But one of the things I did was when I got up, I said, "God, I want to do your will more than I want to do my will," because that's what I read that Jesus did. And Jesus, the Son of God, fully God, fully man, he decided to do God's will. That was, he said, "I've come to do your will, oh God." And so I said, "Okay, I'm going to do that too." And I said, "God, I want to do your will. And I want to be conformed to be like Jesus." And two things. One, I felt like I was in God's will. And two, my life was conforming to the life like Jesus. And I was becoming more and more like him the more I spent time with him. And I noticed the fruit that was coming from that. People were saying, "Hey, how can you be happy? How can you wear a smile? How can you live a purpose life in prison? And you're a lifer." And I'm like, "Well, I know the Lord. I'm doing the Lord's will, and he helps me. It's him through me." And people were just like, look, and they would be interested to begin reading the word or coming to church, coming to Bible studies. And they would, you know, let me pray for them and pray with them. They'd get baptized, and they would begin serving the Lord themselves because they had met the Lord themselves. And so, you know, hope is something that is attainable. Hope is something that you can find when you put your trust in the Lord and who he is.
Amen.
So,
Gene, there are people right now that are free as a bird. They can travel all over the country, all over the world. They got a big house. They have a great job, but they are shackled in a prison of fear, doubt, shame. But yet they go to church every Sunday, hoping it will go away. And they got that little plastic smile on, wondering what's going on in my life. Why can't I have that peace and that joy like Gene has? There are some people that just don't get it. The message of grace is just so easy that we don't believe that God could actually forgive what we've done.
Oh, ideally, there's hope right before us, and we seem to be looking for everything else because we can't see Jesus, but he is as real as the noonday sun here in Texas and in 105 degree weather. he's just so evident. It says faith comes by hearing by the word of God. And I was sitting with a gentleman. He has been retired and very successful man, very, very successful, sold his business and enjoying retirement. And going to church, exactly what you said, this guy, you think this guy is a faithful Christian. But when we sat down and had breakfast one day, he read my book and Unshackled, and he read it and he said, "Man, something about your story, the hope you had." He said, I'm going to tell you, I'm not a Christian, but I love going to church. I love going to Bible study. And he was not reading God's word. He said, I really want to figure out how I can get to know this Lord. And I just simply, that was the verse that came up, you know, faith comes by hearing, hear by the word. And I said, Joe, you just need to read God's word. Spend time, whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, one chapter, or a few verses a day. Be consistent and read God's word. Let him speak to you and reveal himself to you. And that was our last conversation, you know, a couple months ago. I haven't heard from him, but here's a guy, seemingly very successful, you know, father, grandfather, you know, he's there, husband, but not knowing who the Lord is, you know. And that, so I just encouraged him to, you know, to read the Bible. You know, my book is a Christian book, and I hope that my book points people to Jesus. That was the intent of it, both of them, Unshackled and Life After Unshackled, was to point people to Christ, who gives us purpose and value in this world. When this world is beating us up and everybody has an opinion, and from the politicians to doctors to, you know, to everybody in the world has an opinion, but God's word is most important for us to listen to and hear more than anything else.
You know, was just thinking about that today, driving into the office, that people, they look to newscasters, they look to politicians, they look to every
entertainment
yeah. to fill their need. When I tell people, listen, why don't you go have some coffee with Jesus? Why don't you go walk on the beach with Jesus? Why don't you go and turn off everything in your car and drive, and then pour your heart out, be honest, and begin that dialogue? Because if we are a new creation in Christ and Jesus resides inside of the believer, we should have daily, minutely, I don't know if that's a word,
yeah,
conversation and relationship with Jesus. That's the only thing that does fill me up. Does that make sense, Gene?
Oh, perfect. No, perfect. I can relate to that too. I mean, I just made a decision to live for the Lord while I was incarcerated, and whether I live or die in there, I had eternal life because I knew the Lord and I had purpose. So when I got out, of course, you know, someone asked me, was it easier to live in prison, Christian life in prison or out? And I said, well, there's less distractions in the prison system. So for me, when I got out of prison for the first, you know, 2 months, you know, I had so many different choices. I could choose what I ate, when I yeah. went to bed, when I came inside. You know, I was always locked up at 9 o'clock in the cell for 35 years. And now I'm like outside 10:30, 11:30, 12:30. I'm like actually aware of where I'm at. You know, I'm in Oklahoma, I'm in Texas, I'm in Pennsylvania, I'm flying a plane, I'm going here to speak, I'm going there to speak, I'm in Florida, I'm at the beach. So there was a lot of opportunities that were in front of me that could and they did distract me. Wow. And then one day I found myself kind of running on E, on like, I was kind of detached, you know, and I thought, let me sit down here. And I realized my prayer life was lacking. I was reading maybe a chapter a day, but just going over academically, just reading it. I really wasn't spending time with Jesus, as you mentioned, you know, one-on-one. So I said, you know, if I continue on this way, I'm going to wreck myself, you know? And so I just repented and I said, God, I said, you are the most important thing in my life. You've been there. You're faithful. You're trustworthy. We can depend on you. You're loving. You're kind. You're powerful. So, Lord, I'm just submitting to you. I'm drawing close to you. And his promise is, you draw near, Lord, he'll draw near you.
Listeners, I'm going to take a break. And when I return, we will find out what Gene is up to today.
You're listening to Get the Hell Out of Your Life with your host, Ron Myers. Real stories, real struggles, and real hope.
Some of us are building highways, not with our hands, but with our hearts. We're on a journey that doesn't have an end. It's a rough road, but we know that someday it will be worth every rugged mile. Why don't you join us? We're the Christians. Now, I know you've heard a lot of weird things about us, most of it not true. We don't really care. We just know that we're going to live forever, and we can have an abundant life along the way. Jesus is our guide on this journey called life, and he said that he came to give us life that goes on forever and an abundant life. Hey, it's a toll-free highway. Jesus already paved the way. All we have to do is come on board. You don't have to be religious. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to accept the fact that Jesus already bridged the way to heaven. Then you have to put him behind the wheel. But when you finally let go and let Jesus take over, it's amazing how you find the journey a lot more peaceful. Because life without Jesus is kind of like going four-wheeling on a skateboard. Take some time to learn about Jesus. You'll find out how he can build an eternal highway in your heart.
Welcome back, listeners. And yes, Gene McGuire is definitely a believer. Gene, I think what's fascinating is your job. You work for a company that actually, when I first met you, hired you as a chaplain. Would you please tell us about your job?
Yeah, the Vineyard family, Paul and Tiffany, the daughter, and Joel, his son, they're co-owners of this restaurant that's family-owned. And they're believing that God is raising up these restaurants to serve people and to, you know, bless people. They felt like having a chaplain on board. I met the owners, I met the Vineyards, and shared my story. And they said, hey, we want to offer you a position with our company as a chaplain. We really feel you have a relevant story and people listen. And we have a lot of young people working for us. And we want them to hear your story. And so would you serve as a chaplain for our company? And I was like, yes, you know? And so it's amazing that the owners, the Vineyard family, they see their workers as ministry. They see their vendors as ministry, and they see their customers as ministry. And so I get to touch all those areas of the business. So I spend my day in the restaurants around the Dallas-Fort Worth area. There's 14 of them. And I spend my days in most of them and just being available for our young staff. They have problems, whether serious or it's not too serious. They just want someone to talk to. Instead of going to your boss, they can come to us. And if I can't fill the need, we have other ministries that we support as a company. I go in and spend my time in a restaurant and greet people and say, I just want to affirm that they are important. They are in God's will working for us. And then, you know, I always say, you're in God's will today. And their eyes get big, like they never heard it before. And I said, well, tomorrow, you know, wherever God puts you, if it's here, great. If not, you know, follow the Lord's will. And it's just, it's amazing. You sit right there in a restaurant, pray for people, stand up, pray for people. The servers are going back and forth on the tables and they're sharing a little bit. And I'm like, some have medical problems, some have emotional problems. And I'll say, can I pray for you? And they're like, yeah, just like really quick, 10 seconds, and just pray for them, you know, that and also our managers and our supervisors.
What an incredible concept for a company. So when you do that, you're also building relationships with your coworkers. And, you know, a lot of businesses right now, at least in our area, are having trouble finding workers. I have a feeling with your place, workers don't want to leave because they actually feel important.
Oh, well, you know, that's so true. Babe's Chicken Dinner House. It's really for young people to be working, you know, high school and college. But one of the things I always see is when they're going to college, they'll come home and they just fit right back in for the summer. Or if they finish school and they're in between jobs, they'll come and work for us. It's a safe place. A loving place, and it's family style. So the food is family style, but also the atmosphere.
I'm in Gulfport, Mississippi. I'm ready to come and eat at Babe's Chicken House in Dallas just so I can be ministered to.
Come on. Yeah. There was one time, I'll tell you real quick, there was a lady walked up to me and she goes, excuse me, sir, are you a manager? I'm like, no, I'm a chaplain. She was like, a what? I said, I'm a chaplain. She goes, do you pray for people? I said, yeah. And she goes, well, come here. And she took me over to her table. There was a big table, about 15 people. And right away, I noticed there was a police officer sitting there. And she goes, I'm from Georgia. This is my son. He just graduated from the Dallas Academy. He's a police officer. I want you to pray for him. And I was like, come on. Yeah. I was like, and then she said, give him your card. You give him his card. And so how amazing is that? You know, here are customers. And the mother brings me over to their table and introduces me to her son and has me pray for him right there. So how wow. cool is that?
And just think about this, Gene. Those 35 years that you were shackled up, God release you. Do you think you would be as effective of a chaplain in that restaurant if you hadn't been through all the hell previously in your life?
Well, it's hard to say, but I'll kind of agree with you that the things I went through helps weave the fabric of my life in a sense, you know, and I am who I am today because of that, not in spite of it, but because of what I've experienced 35 years incarceration. The people I met, the things I've learned, the lessons, some hard, some not so hard. But yeah, I am where I'm at today because of what I've gone through with the Lord, of course, and the experiences I have. I can definitely touch some hearts. And
because if I needed a faith lift, I'd have to come and talk to you, because what you've been through, if you can go through what you've been through and come out on top and now ministering to employees, to people, I want some of what Gene has, and obviously that's Jesus, but wow, yeah. what a story. I thought it was important to bring that up, because how many people listening right now have never worked in a place or even been in a place where the company has chaplains that minister to the team members and the customers? I think it's awesome. I want to ask you one thing, though, with young people. I know you said you have a lot of college and high school kids work for you. What's on the hearts of our young people?
Right away, as you were even asking me that question, such a kind of a big question, but I would say purpose. These young kids, they're kind of feeling that, yeah, I went to high school, I'm going to college, but you know, what's it all about, you know? And you can have 5 degrees and still not know your purpose in life. And I'm convinced, as you are, knowing the Lord is why we're designed, why we're created, why we're here. We are here to serve the Lord. Yes, be a astronaut, be a doctor, be a restaurant manager, be a chaplain, all those things. But above and beyond all that is when you know the Lord, you know his purpose for your life, and it's like the starting line of an adventurous, incredible life. And it started with me back in, 1987 in a prison cell. And, it's carried me all the way up today. And I live with purpose, and I tell these young kids, you know, God loves you, God cares about you, and you're in God's will. And their eyes light up because I believe those words are reaching a spot in their life where they're like, yeah, I'm going to school, I'm going to college, but what is my purpose? And, you know, my number is available if they want to call me. And I've recently just ministered to a young person with a college degree. And she said, I'm trying to figure out what my purpose in life is. And I asked her, I said, are you reading the Bible? And she goes, no. And I said, can I recommend reading Romans 12:1-2 every day, you know? And I said, if you read Romans 12:1-2, read those two verses every day, and just trust that the Lord is going to open up some doors, and he's going to convince you what his will is for your life. And that's kind of my go-to verse for these young kids, you know, read the Bible. But here, I know the Bible's big, but start right here, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And you can know his good, pleasing, and perfect will of God when you are reading his word.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We all have gifts, talents, and skills that nobody else has. Mm-hmm. I always tell people, hey, look at your finger. How many fingerprints do you have? You have one fingerprint. Nobody else in the world does. So that means you are an original and not a copy. Now, when you share your gift and your talent and the skills, you're bringing honor to your creator. He created you with the purpose. You know, a lot of people say, Gene, well, you know, if I don't do it, someone else will. I said, well, I don't know about that. Can anybody ever sing like Elvis Presley? Can anybody ever sing like Frank Sinatra or speak like Billy Graham? No. And right now, with this time of year being a lot of graduation, I think parents sometimes get in the way of their children figuring out things because they have their whole life planned for the kids. Oh, no, going to go to this college, going to be this, and going to be that, and it's going to make a lot of money. Well, as you said a little bit ago, you know someone that's very successful but really doesn't have any purpose and really is wandering in life. I think the thing that we need to tell our kids, and correct me if I'm wrong, Gene, is God has a plan. He's got a purpose for you. I would love to see you do this, but the bottom line is it's your life. Find out what God wants you to do with what he's given you in life.
Absolutely. And we do live in a world that everything is instant. Kids want, you know, high school and college kids, they want the home, they want the car, they want the vacations that their grandparents have, but they fail to remember that it took grandparents 25 years to get all that, you know? It had to be 25 years, but it definitely took some time. And, start with an apartment, start with a car payment, start with, you know, finishing college, start with a job, and, just stay on track, stay on course. And that really is, it begins with who Amen. The Lord is and knowing him.
Well, Gene, you are Mr. Inspiration, Mr. Motivation for Babe's Chicken. And now for listeners of this radio show, Get the Hell Out of Your Life. And listeners, you can get a copy of Gene's book, Life After Unshackled, at his website, genemcguire.org. Check out his website. Find out about this awesome man of God. Thank you again, Gene. Keep up the good work and look forward to see you soon one of these days here in the Gulf Coast area, okay?
Yes, Ron. Thank you so much. God bless you. God love you and all your listeners.
You're listening to Get the Hell Out of Your Life with your host, Ron Myers. Real stories, real struggles, and real hope.
Well, friends, my time is up. If you have a story that you would like to share, go to my website, thepromoter.org. Until next week, this is Ron Myers reminding you that I love you, God loves you, and it's time to get the hell out of your life.
Get the Hell Out of Your Life is produced by Ron Myers Productions and is underwritten by the Christmas City Gift Show. We invite you to come shop with over 260 vendors from all over the United States, November 10th through the 12th, inside the Coast Convention Center, located on the beach in Biloxi, Mississippi. You can find more information at ChristmasCityGiftShow.com. If you would like to share your story of God's amazing grace or listen to previous episodes, please visit our website, thepromoter.org. Join us next week for another episode of Get the Hell Out of Your Life. Real stories, real struggles, and real hope.